Hey, podcasters, Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, cheating confessions.
Clazzy went to bed with Matt last night.
It was lovely. Ooh. It was lovely.
Yeah. Guitar and songwriting legend from Dividors, Mark McKenty.
And we drop number 5 in Matt's best hits from your hood for this year.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clazzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Every city loves a fun run, don't they?
They do.
The fun run, thousands of people getting together. You get to set your personal challenges, maybe try to beat your personal best.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it's about. It's about achieving and really trying.
Yeah.
Except in China.
Oh,
this particular marathon, it was a half marathon, and a bunch of people cheated.
Really?
How did they cheat?
They cheated. Well, basically, there was a sort of a barrier of trees. If you imagine like a U-turn, I suppose, or a median strip down the middle of the road,
yeah,
where everyone was running down one way, and then as you went around the corner, you came back up the other.
So a little bit of bushland in
between? A bit of bushland in between the two tracks, and a bunch of people just decided they would just cut through the bush and come out the other side.
Bunch of fudges.
Well, they were all caught on camera. So you see this hilarious footage of just these people reappearing, like disappearing into the bushes, reappearing out the other side. And they cut about 3 kilometres off their run.
Wow.
Like a decent chunk, right? That right. So many people cheated. They're saying 46 people were actually captured on the camera cutting across.
Right. Mm.
But another 190 runners were caught cheating for other reasons. They had 18 people wearing fake bibs. They had 3 that were running in someone else's place.
Right.
So they just got a faster runner and put a bib on them. And so there were a total of 258 runners that were penalised for cheating.
Jesus.
Isn't that weird? It's like a fun run, right? It's a marathon.
Yeah.
What's in it for the people who are cheating?
Well, I don't know. Those 46 people that cut through the bush, I mean, maybe they were cheating or maybe someone told them there was some baby formula.
Quite a bit.
Come and grab.
Quite a bit. I'm really surprised in Chinese people doing this as well, because if you think about, you know, we've seen in a couple of documentaries lately and a couple of TV specials about how they're being watched so much.
Yes.
By government officials and the like, and they get judged on what they purchase and they're getting seen by so many cameras. There's no way they weren't going to get seen.
Well, yeah.
Their state news agency said the event was deeply shameful.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hello. You know, it's all about pride.
Yeah, and some of those runners have already been banned in the past, and that's why they reckon that there were people wearing bibs for them because they couldn't run.
Okay.
You know, so it was
interesting to know how much you won. You know, what was at stake? What was the prize money?
Get your best time, that's for sure.
Yes.
You feel a lot better.
How many UN?
Get to the pub sooner.
Also,
afterwards?
Like, it's what gives you the inclination to cheat? Like, I'm not a competitive person, so I don't really cheat because I'm Little Miss Fairplay. I couldn't care less if I win or lose. Like, it's just of no interest to me.
Okay.
Well, I think I've got that kind of white line fever because, I don't think I portray myself as that competitive, but as in backyard sport, I would cheat to win all the time.
Please,
what?
No.
Like with my brother or
fudging
whatever.
The scores or?
Did I nick it? No, I didn't.
Oh, really?
Right.
You know, though you knew it was a solid nick, it was all wood.
Absolutely. I would argue the point until I won. I was just, my mum used to say that I was shameful.
Oh, really?
She'd be watching from the kitchen window and just thinking, you've tweaked the rules, you've changed the rules.
Yeah, normally it's the older brother does that, because I did that with my brother a little. Did you ever stoop to, something really low, like maybe sandpaper on a cricket ball? Or?
All the time.
Yeah, well done.
All the time.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't cheat on a test, right?
I didn't at school, I didn't cheat.
No.
You can see in my results that almost minuscule TAE result. But I have, we do surveys at work. Right?
Yep.
Yes.
And I have, can I confess this?
Yeah.
Am I going to lose my job?
We don't know
I'd
yet.
Love to say that Matt and I support you.
I've fudged a few of those things by copying some other people's answers on some of the surveys at work.
You've just reminded me that you and I cheated together. I forgot about that.
Well,
we're going down together.
We're getting sacked.
It was a few years ago. Sorry.
Yeah,
you're going to have, like,
there was
pretend
a
it didn't
survey
happen.
We had to do online through work. And
we
fudged some of the answers by finding out what other people had written.
But you know,
and since then, they've changed the rules in the setup, so you can't cheat.
I think they were on to us.
Yeah, they worked it out that people were cheating.
The Big Breakfast with Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
258 runners were penalised for cheating in the half marathon in China because they all just did a dodge and made a quick U-turn through the bush and cut 3 kilometres off the trip.
Well done, I say. Yeah. Don't cheat as prosper in our world.
Go back to your trainer and say, I got my best time by 2 minutes.
Well, look, I'm not much of a cheater, but we thought let's get you into the confessional here at Mix 94.5 so you can repent your sins and everything will be okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Wendy's in Midland. Wendy, welcome to the confessional.
Hello.
Wendy, what have you done?
I cheated for a 90-year-old nana.
Right. What did you do, Wendy?
My nana, we were country people, and there was my nana was an absolutely amazing cook. She made the most amazing scones, but mine were out like rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I had to take some to a do, you know, at a community hall, and my nana and I, well, she made them. I took them. She came with me, and everybody enjoyed them, thought they were fabulous. And one old lady, I won't say what she was, but she said to my nana, gee, your granddaughter doesn't cook like you. Her scones are absolutely amazing. You couldn't have taught her to cook, you know, blah, blah, blah. And my nana and I just looked at each other.
Got stuck in.
Sucked in, yeah. My nana made them.
But you for a moment, you tried to pull them off as your own.
I did claim them the whole time.
Oh, well done,
Wendy.
And that's when one of the ladies said, well, you know, Esther, you couldn't have taught your granddaughter to cook. You're cooking shocking, you know. And she never used to win cake prizes at the local shows and all that. And
Wendy, we've covered you for your sins. I think it's... I mean,
you're forgiven.
You do have to pay in scones. Actually, no, yours are rubbish. I don't want
them. No. And Wendy turned to her nana and, be quiet, old woman.
Thanks for the confession there, Wendy. Let's go to Bullsbrook. G'day, Diane. Welcome to the confessional.
Thank you.
Diane, what have you done?
Many years ago, I was at Teachers College, and we had to do this unit for computer programming, and I hated computer programming. It was just dreadful. I found this book that had all the answers to the assignments that were given throughout the term, and I thought, you beauty, that's great, that'll do me. So I did really, really well. And then we discovered at the end of the semester that our grading was based on the assignment that were given at the end, and there was no answers for it. So I had to go back through the whole semester and reteach myself the whole thing all over again. It was just dreadful. It took me hours and hours and hours, and just scraped through, fortunately.
Now you're working for Microsoft.
Now you own Microsoft.
Well, then of course I had to teach computers to kids, and I thought, oh God. Revisited, but anyway.
Teach them how to cheat.
Yeah. Cheating doesn't pay, Di. Well done.
Doesn't pay. Thank you.
Oh, God. Let's go to Piara Waters. Belinda, welcome to the confessional. When have you cheated?
Thank you very much. So it was when I was in year three, so going back quite a few years, we used to have a weekly times tables quiz in our class.
Oh, yes.
Ah, the worst.
Yep. And the winner would get like a little award at the weekly assembly, and I never ever won the weekly award because I wasn't that great at it.
Right.
So we had a boy in my class, and he was really good at it, and I sat next to him. So one week I got him to do my quiz and then put my name on it.
Mm. Yeah.
And of course, won the weekly award at the assembly that week.
Well done.
Was the weekly award a bit bittersweet, Belinda? Did it taste like cheating?
No, not at all. Not at the time it didn't. I felt guilty afterwards, but at the time it felt pretty good.
Pretty good being up there, heralded, lauded.
You did what you had to do, Belinda. That's what I reckon.
Yeah.
That's it.
Do you feel now that you've confessed your sins, you're clear now, we've fixed that for you?
Yeah, and I'm pretty good at times tables now. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
We
have cleared your conscience. Well done, Belinda.
Thank you.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Matt, I know we talk a bit about the fact that you've made quite a few movies in your acting career.
Oh, darling, I've trod the boards from time to time.
Quite a few. And one of those movies came on the telly last night as I was preparing to go to bed. It was just after 8 o'clock.
Oh, really?
The movie Japanese Story from 2003.
Yeah, not a bad one. Film.
2003, starring Toni Collette, who was already a big star in Australia because of Muriel's Wedding.
Yes.
So I don't know the name of the gentleman she played opposite, but the movie was Japanese Story. It was about her and a Japanese gentleman who were looking at mining sites in Western Australia. So Laurie said to me, we're not going to bed until we see Matt appear on the screen in this movie.
Bloody hell, you would have been up late.
Unfortunately.
A bit of a late appearance in that film.
Unfortunately, we missed the first 20 minutes. I take it you were in somewhere early.
Yes, I described that performance as bookending the film. I'm there at the beginning.
Tell you what, you bookended like the best, mate. So I missed the first bit. I'd never seen the movie. I'd never seen the trailer. There's a bit in you in the trailer, and I wanted to see that bit where you're like,
oh, gee, that's unfortunate. You could have gone to bed within the first four minutes if you came up soon.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to take the mickey a little bit here, but due respect for your acting and for Toni Collette's, because she was brilliant
She's fantastic. Right.
So I just want to run through what we saw while I was thinking about going to bed. And you know what it's like. You get to 8 o'clock when you do this job. We're thinking about 4 o'clock wake up.
Yeah.
So you're always looking at the clock. So Toni Collette catches a plane and picks up the hire car.
Yes.
Toni Collette picks up the reluctant Japanese guy, and they sort of argue despite the fact that he has no English skills whatsoever.
No.
Right.
All of a sudden, actor John Howard speaks to him in fluent Japanese. That was weird.
It was.
It's a bit strange. Toni Collette, well, she looks hot and bothered. It's now 8:40. Still no Matt.
No.
Japanese guy hates Aussie food at the fly-in, fly-out canteen, and the Aussie blokes around him, and Toni takes him out to see a mine, which is very impressive.
Yes.
And he likes the explosion. Japanese guy wants to travel further. She reluctantly agrees, and of course they get bogged in the outback of Australia.
Silly Toni.
Right.
Look, both mobiles either run out of power or there's no charge, so it's not good, and it's 2003, you know, there's not many towers out there.
And so still no Matt.
Still no Matt. It's 8:45. They dig the wheels out without success, so they can't get the car. So they collect a bit of firewood and they start a couple of fires and they sleep overnight. Not in the car, but out in the cold. It was weird. Japanese hero, who I think his name is Hero in the movie, the gentleman. Something like that. It sounds like she's calling him Hero. But anyway, he is the hero because he collects some of the extra firewood. He gets some sticks and he puts them behind the wheels and they miraculously get the car out.
That's right. Remember that.
Going into reverse, which is great. So after that, the two are celebratory and start looking at each other slightly differently.
Yeah.
They end up at a motel shortly after, and Toni undresses but puts the Japanese guy's slacks on in preparation for lovemaking.
Oh, here we go. This is where Matt arrives, surely.
No. Yes. It's
there's a lovemaking scene.
No,
where is he?
It's 9:10 and there's still no Matty. I'm going, I want to go to bed, dude. Hurry up. Right, so they do the deed, and she's wearing his slacks while they do, which is odd. Toni sees his wallet with a photo of wife and kids. He notices, so Japanese guy confesses he has wife and kids.
I am sorry.
True. Remarkably, he's got outstanding English after 2 days in the car with Toni Collette. If she wasn't such a brilliant actress, she should teach Japanese students.
That's why we call him Hiro. So quick.
Hiramitsu is his full name. Hiramitsu.
They find a billabong and Toni undresses and runs into the water like it's a Pepsi ad.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the Japanese guy dives in near the trees and hits his head and dies instantly.
Oh,
sorry. Spoiler alert. Sorry. I didn't mean to say that bit. It's 9:40. Still no Matt. However, Toni struggles to get the gentleman's body into the four-wheel drive.
Great scene.
Brilliant scene. So clever. Because it's very awkward. A woman trying to get a heavier man's body in. He's a live character, but trying to get in. Yeah, very, very clever.
Yeah.
And great acting from the guy who's passed away.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do.
Yeah, he does dead well.
Don't see a heartbeat. So she gets him back, and then a helicopter arrives, and now Matty arrives.
Yes. Oh, now, did you actually see his performance, or did you go, oh, thank God, Matt's here. We need to go to bed.
Very, very strong. Matt Kaczynski. It was
okay,
so good.
They always said at drama school, no one walks off a helicopter like Dictinsky.
So good. I don't know what happened at the end because we went to bed. Sorry, man.
That's all right.
But I record it, so I'm going to watch the rest tomorrow, so we'll have another installment.
And how's my hair?
Oh, mate. How's
full
your hair?
What was I thinking?
Yeah, long hair, full beard going on.
Because, you know, like, I thought that's what miners and people would look like. So I did that, and then I had to see my head like 10 foot high and just went, that was
you
wrong.
You were 33 and you were bigger then as well.
I was bigger many ways.
I want to see it on the big screen. but a lot of Perth actors, Igor Sass and a few others
pop
up, which is
absolutely
good to see. I want to watch the rest of it. I'll have another installment later.
Clancy, your commitment to Matt's career is unmatchable. That's incredible.
We can't go to bed till we see him. We haven't seen him. Laurie, never seen you acting. So.
Probably be another late night tonight then.
Tonight could be Love and Other Catastrophes.
I'm in the first scene.
No, I'm in our relationship.
Oh, yeah.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Presence of rock and roll greatness here today. Mm-hmm. I can tell you the gentleman sitting with us has done so much with and without the late, great Chrissy Amphlett, of course, with the Vinyls. Also, his name is Mark McKenty and he's just sitting there ready to go. His song, Science Fiction, this incredible little tune here. Another one of their best was included in APRA's 75th anniversary Best 30 Australian Songs of All Time. And Divinals are back touring again. So the amazing back catalogue not getting wasted. It's back on the road. with a new singer. Divinals in Perth, March 1 and 2. Gate 1 Theatre. Tickets through showtickets.com.au. Mark McKenty, welcome, mate.
It's good to be here, but I didn't know I was going to rock up for a bloody group therapy session. I mean, all you people in here, there's so many of you.
The couch is a bit small, though. Sorry, mate. Mm. If you want to lie down there. Mate, we're so glad you're back. This legacy of this music's just too good to waste, isn't it? You want to bring it out there and play to the people.
Funnily enough, you know, it was funny how it all came about. My mate Billy called me, and he's been a good friend of mine for a long time, Billy, and he says, oh, there's this girl who wants to do a version of one of your songs in the studio here. Her name is Lauren Ruth Ward. Can you come down and maybe, you know, just check it out, and do you want to play a bit of guitar on it or whatever? And usually I say no at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
But I said yes at the drop of this hat. And I thought, oh, wow, she sounds great singing. So I played a bit of guitar. We had a little play in the studio. And then I thought, oh, I wonder whether, you know, it's been a while since Chrissy went now. And I've sort of been feeling like playing some of my old songs.
Yep.
I thought, God, should I ask Lauren whether she'd be interested in a tour? And she says, oh, yeah, sure.
She's up for it.
Well, I thought, God, that was easy.
Well, is it tough, though? Because, I mean, as you say, these are songs that you've written, that you've worked on for years, that are your babies. And I guess
I haven't
a lot
worked
of them
on them for years. It only took me bloody minute. I played him for years.
There's songs that I think are associated with Chrissy Amphlett in that we assume, you know, we all know them to be connected to her voice. So to be able to give it another lease on life, and is Lauren able to bring herself to the performance, and she's not imitating Chrissy, she's just giving it her own taste?
Nobody could possibly ever imitate Chrissy, and I wouldn't be interested in doing that. No. It's really going to be a celebration of, you know, the lyrics Chrissy wrote and what we did together, and God bless her. I just want to take that out to people again live, and I really feel it's very bionically organic thing. You know.
Mate, I think about being in the front, right at the front of the stage at the Tuggeranong Rugby Union Club in Canberra, right? 1988, so we're talking 30 years ago.
Wow.
You're there and Chrissy's there, right? And she's sweating on my mate Mobsy and I. We're working at a radio station called Kix FM, and we had the best night ever. But from the stage, what's it like to not only have those fans going off like that, but to have Chrissy next to you doing what she did?
So much fun, you know, and it's just playing to people personally. It's directly your sweat dripping on the very likes of you.
Yeah, yeah, I'll never wash it again.
That's what I want to get back again.
Yeah, good. I mean, is that good. The drug? You is know, that is that why we see so many, you know, great bands like the Stones continuing to play? Because you never lose the love of that energy from live performance.
Yeah, and I guess it's the trouble is you write these songs or the music, it's always kind of like your own DNA, isn't it? And so you really don't know how to do anything else. So you go, might as well go out and have a play again, you know? It's so much fun.
Mate, we're looking forward to 2019. Before we wrap up, I just want to know, in the height of the success in America, there was a big EMI contract you guys signed, wasn't there? You must have come across some real American radio record wankers. It must have been pretty funny at times for you guys.
Must you use that ghastly word? My mother would be turning right now. Yeah, there was some pretty crazy radio stations. We used to do a lot of radio stations all through the 80s.
Yep.
Calling through, but we did some great tours, you know, with a lot of really good bands, and it was a real eye-opener.
Mate, good to see you, as always.
Good to be seen by you bastards.
Don't call us wankers.
No, I wouldn't do that.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Coburn, Cannington, Melfin, Girraween, Joondalup, Eastvic Park, the places between. Home is where the heart is, and that's all good. Let me tell you all about it, Matt. Hits from your hood.
Oh, it's been a big 2018, you know, keep doing my songs for the suburbs and they've got bigger and bigger, you know, with lots of, you know, special guests coming in.
Do you put that on there? Like, do you say, you know, it's Matt's Hits From Your Hood featuring Samantha Jade?
Yeah.
Featuring 360.
Yeah.
So you're in a studio in New York and that, you know, Sam Jade might be in London or something, you know.
That's the way we do it, but you can, that's, technology's really made that possible now, Claire.
With your busy touring schedules.
Yeah, I said to Sammy Jade the other day, I said, sweetheart, it's great that we can work together in this way.
Yeah, you love your Christmas album.
Yeah. I'm gonna stop that now.
Can you do that voice?
So we had the poll open for the top five of this year. I had nothing to do with it. And
he's washed his hands of the polling.
No. As you know, I didn't vote myself.
Oh, right, okay.
Number five, and I did like this one, I have to say.
Oh, we're heading for the hills.
I don't even know which one it is. Oh.
Yeah, we are.
Number five,
yep.
Calamunda.
Calamunda
everybody to the wild, wild west, to the city of Perth that some say is the best. Laid back lifestyle and wide sandy beaches, but me, I like to be where the trees are the features. So I grab my ride and I head out to the east, leave the city behind and the air is getting sweet. Where the kookaburras laugh is a spell you fall under. Find a rogue and just take it if it's named Calamunda. Got a hotel that is haunted, even got a show, and they're screaming, how's that at Costera Oval? More animals here than was on Noah's Ark. Live music always humming out of Old Sturt Park. And now the water slides here might not be ones to remember. Leave the top in late July, splash down in December. But we're living in a paradise, no need for bluster. Mr. Padgy, lay it down for old Calamunda. Calamunda. Avert your eyes from the sight of older men in Lycra. Hoons are doing hooning down the zigzag scenic drive. Get yourself a good plan in case of a bushfire. Police station closed, but we ain't swimming in crack, cause we're filling up our souls walking the Biddleman track. Look up to the sky, it's 11:30 Virgin, flying in from cities like a Sydney and Melbourne. Everyone is welcome if you're taking your chill pills. Get into a taxi and head for them old hills. However you got here, you're gonna fit like a glove, and you're gonna wanna give Calamunda some love. Calamunda love.
Oh, Matt, nice. History. It's song number five in our countdown of the biggest ones as voted by you.
I gotta say, that was pretty good. If I do say so myself.
If that was number five.
Yeah.
Then brilliant. I'm suggesting that 4-1 is going to be pretty amazing, because that was great.
Hang on a minute. We talked about the arias earlier
in
the
week.
Yeah, we did. The best doesn't always win.
Oh. You never know. But we're going through some of the top ones of 2018. Matt's Hits From Your Hood, these suburban songs. BB Rexha just called and said, Matt, thanks for the bloody earworm today. So that's revenge for
That's what I do.
I'll take that one. It's much more fun.
Yeah.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Belinda missed.
She's pretty damn good, but she missed this one. Look, in A Sign of the Times and How Today's Influencers Can Be Fooled by Hype Guys.
Oh, I love this.
Payless shoes in Santa Monica, basically. So this is the normally cheap shoes, $20 to $40 retail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So fairly cheap. You know, we're talking about US prices. But so what they did was they set up a bit of a pop-up store, but they used what was in a former Armani store in Santa Monica and they basically created a fake luxury store with its discounted footwear sold to fashion influencers.
Mm-hmm.
But they pumped up the price. Now, they made them, you know, hyper-inflated.
Yes.
So your $20 shoes were, you know, could have been as much as $2,000.
Yep.
And then they invited a bunch of social media fashion influencers to the party, and labelled the store Pelesi.
Okay.
This is brilliant. It is. So brilliant.
Pelesi, so it sounds glamorous.
The party goers started gushing about the shoes. They didn't realise they were picking up $20 to $40 shoes and were paying a premium for these shoes.
Interesting, isn't it? How if you're an online influencer, how easily you're influenced.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
So tricked. And they'd be so embarrassed now.
Oh, it is, because they didn't know that it was a bit of a game until they paid for the shoes. So people were saying, I'll pick up a couple of pairs of these $1,800 shoes. Thank you very much. And then they went, actually, here you go. You can have them for free. So they were gifted. And they ran that store for 6 days. Brilliant. So it had enough time to get some decent publicity. Yes. It's a good get for them.
It's brilliant.
Because I'm like, this is how I feel about fashion. It's the reason I don't go to fashion events. I do get invited to them in this job.
Right.
And I often don't go because I feel awkward about what to wear.
Yeah.
Because I feel like fashion people know that I am wearing something that I've literally had in my wardrobe for 15 years.
Right.
Everything from Payless.
Yeah, because I don't wear high fashion brands. I don't wear labels.
You certainly don't.
I don't do anything like that.
You look like something in the cut dragged in.
Yeah.
Around here.
And so I always feel uncomfortable in those circumstances. But now I know that I can just pop off to Payless, pick up a pair of shoes and wear them out.
It's wonderful, isn't it? It just goes to show the absolute lie and mythology of a label and something that creates a buzz about it that has nothing really to do with anything.
Yeah.
Just really good marketing.
Well, that's why, imagine like 10 years ago saying to kids in high school, oh, you can get a job being an influencer.
Yeah,
an online influencer.
I mean, how
influencer.
Ridiculous. Yeah, like, and the focus should be on them. I'm like, they are completely clueless to the products.
They would be embarrassed because this is, you know, this is what they sort of do. They're out there and putting their comments on their, you know, whether they're Instagram people or whatever. So they're doing their best to spread the hype in so many ways. But I think it was funny that they were commenting on the shoes as though they were like gold.
You know? Of course.
It was really hyped up. It was actually really quite funny.
Absolutely. And just, you know, a reminder to us all to not believe everything we read.
See. Although, hang on, you can believe Kimber has a crack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's different.
I'm not paid or influenced to do those products. That's why I go and test them legitimately, because influencers are full of rubbish.
I'm going to get you a pair of Pelesi shoes and see what you think.
Good on you.
In fact, you're paid less to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
We had the Premier in for a bit of a chat last week.
If
you could trace back the Premier and record everything he said in the past 12 months, the word that would probably come up the most would be Metronet.
Metronet.
He says it a lot because he's very proud of what's happening with our future rail.
Well, it'd be a fantastic piece of infrastructure when it's finished. Yes.
Yeah, well, they do seem to be delivering. Over the last few years, anything that we've said we're getting in Perth, we do eventually get. But it just takes some time.
It does. It does. And it always seems to be, you know, the costs escalate, which I'm sure does happen in the building industry. But unlike at home, when you get a quote for something, oh, that'll be $200. All right, sweet, do it.
Yeah.
You know, these quotes for these big things be about $1.8 billion, but can't be sure.
Got to have a contingency plan.
I can't be sure about
that.
How
much is in the contingency?
Yeah.
Oh, a few hundred thousand, a few million. It is amazing, isn't it? So work on the $1 billion Morley to Allenbrook rail line is going to begin next year, and we're almost in next year. The state government have unveiled those pretty fancy stage one plans. I love those artist impressions of how happy people look around that new look Bayswater station.
Don't they look happy?
Yeah.
They do, and it's a new look, and there's lots of things that are happening there too. I mean, this means that they're going to relocate the existing station there onto a higher rail bridge over King William Street.
Mm. Right.
And really importantly, the existing rail bridge is going to have a higher clearance of 4.8 metres, so we're not going to be able to drive into the bridge anymore.
No. That's why they look so happy. They're higher.
That's why they had to recreate this whole thing. The $146 million Bayswater Station upgrade is basically because everyone kept driving into that stupid bridge.
Yeah, but that's a Perth icon, it's a tourist attraction to watch another poor dude on his first day in a truck not know how high it is.
It's a rite of passage.
Absolutely.
Mark McGowan said that in the time that he has been Premier, that bridge has been hit by 20 trucks.
True.
What's wrong with us?
And, you know, the thing is, how on earth are we going to pay for this project if those truck drivers don't have to pay the fine for smashing into a bridge?
Actually, right.
Oh, well, you know what? I think this whole project basically will be paid by the state government holding bake sales outside the current train stations.
Oh, you reckon?
That's the best way to make money.
I reckon
bake sales are the way to go. If you were on your way to work
and you could
get a Lamington on the way or grab a little, you know, a little cookie on the way in on the train, everyone will be happier. Everyone's got what they want for the day, and we raise the money for Metronet.
Brilliant idea.
Mind you, if you eat too much, you'll be so big you won't make it under 4.8 metres. It's not good, is it? Yeah, so apparently there's $500 million in federal coalition money.
Is there?
That's if they get back in. Who knows? You know, the former PM wants to go to the polls on March 2.
And figures like that just get bandied around, don't they? Yeah.
We dream big. Yeah. We dream big here.
Look, it'll be wonderful. I mean, all three lines, you know, would branch off from Bayswater Station, the existing Midland line, the airport line and the Ellenbrook line. So, I mean, you know, we need all that stuff. That's what a big city needs.
Yeah, I am pretty sure that every time you mention Metronet and Ellenbrook, the people of Ellenbrook roll their eyes.
They just go, oh.
Do they?
Well, they've been waiting a very long time.
They've been waiting since 1896.
It's going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
Oh, by the way, Maddie, update from Scarbs. How long since you went to your old burb?
A little while.
So the corner where the big building's going up, the overseas interests, that building's all been demolished there on the corner of Scarborough Beach Road.
Contatio, it's gone.
Gonski.
Me parking spot.
We went past the rubble yesterday. I went, whoa, that's progress.
It is. Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
All right.
It is the season. Tis the season to be jolly, maybe a little bit silly, and someone who's got a reputation for being a little bit silly or a little bit fun this time of year is a Labor politician by the name of David Templeman.
Oh, yes.
He's the Leader of the House. He's the man from, you know, the seat of Mandurah. Mandurah people know him very, very well, local constituents. And he's the Minister for Culture and the Arts, Local Government and Heritage as well. If you Google him, that's what it says.
Yes.
But he really is the Minister for Funny Songs and Performances in Parliament at the end of the year.
No, that's what happens when you give someone the arts gig. You're in the arts gig, you can do anything you like.
And he's got form, hasn't he?
Got a reputation.
It's not the first time that he's done this.
Yeah, was he done some comedy or something in the
past? A bit of Monty Python, you know, parodies. But what did he do this year?
So to wrap up the year, this is what David Templeman had for us.
Hello, Speaker, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. It's a story of some downs and ups, of the Eagles and their Premiership Cup, of a year which finished with our share of the GST for our treasury. That's been their year in Parliament.
David Templeman, you give him the gig, as you say, that portfolio. You know, we're talking about culture and the arts, and he just takes it all the way.
Good tone, good diction.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I have to say. Yeah,
and he didn't stop either.
Words were nice and clear.
He did the whole song.
He kept going, lots
of verses, which, you know, I've got to say, earlier in the year, the three of us made the strong suggestion to people in government that they shouldn't sing anymore because there was a series of those awkward exchanges with the media, you know, where people were trying to make the songs fit and it was just, oh, don't do it anymore, please. But he did that one. He did that well.
Look, he did it well. I'd like to see him try that at the Comedy Lounge on a Friday night. I'm not sure. Maybe not as well.
You're right. The Parliament, they've got a different kind of... the litmus is for comedy is very different.
Yeah, but they seem to be enjoying themselves.
You got the premier to do I Love Rockingham at one stage, didn't you?
You did,
Mark McGowan, that was pretty funny.
It was funny. But you know how they have the camera in Parliament, so it's facing his own team.
Yeah.
So all we could see was them kind of enjoying it, in inverted commas. Now, I don't know whether they were or not, or they felt they had to.
Rolling their eyes.
Would love to have seen, you know, what... Nahan and his crew were
What the Libs were doing and thinking.
Maybe they were really enjoying
it. Maybe they've got a bit of... You think about all the feisty stuff that goes on and all the rubbish that happens in Parliament throughout the year.
A bit of Christmas spirit.
So it was probably something a bit lighter, have a bit of a laugh. But yeah, the opposition probably weren't quite as jovial about it.
No, but a welcome change from the usual boring and yelling at each other and everything that goes on in there.
And no doubt someone would have said, oh, David, you're a card. Look at you. You can't stop yourself, can you?
Such a character.
A standing ovation.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well.
Jeez, mate, I haven't had one of those.
we'll keep working on it. Yeah,
yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Think quick, win big. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
Go to Wanneroo. Hey, Kathy, you ready for a 36-degree Perth day?
Yeah, sure.
same,
Kathy. What choice do we have? Kathy, welcome to the Pressure Test. We're going to give you a category and a time limit. You just need to give us the correct answers before the time runs out. For each correct answer, we'll throw you $10, but if you get all of them, $250 to start your Christmas.
Sweet as.
Okay, let's do this, Kathy. We're going to put 15 seconds on the clock for you.
That's sweet as.
Yeah, and the time will start once I've given you the category.
Oh, Kathy,
we need you to list 7 Christmas carols. Go.
Silent Night, Little Drummer Boy, Jingle Bells, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Away in a Manger, Holy Night, Silent Night.
Oh,
for Christmas
Okay, well, we got Silent Night, Little One, Two,
Little Drummer Boy,
Three,
Jingle Bells, Away in a Manger.
Yes,
that one.
Yeah, that was one.
Yeah, that's one.
Well, but Santa Claus is Coming to Town is a song rather than a carol.
And Silent Night. I mean, Holy Night
is Silent Night.
That was a terrific go, though.
I love that though because she came back with Holy Night, then Silent Night again, and that was so three times it showed a mention. Yeah. But
I thought that was awesome. That was the rap remix.
So, five in total? I've got four in total.
I think it's four.
Oh, it's four,
yeah.
Is it?
It's four. Okay. So $40, Kathy.
Thanks, I'll take it.
Oh, take the money and run, Kathy. Yeah,
why not?
You did well. They actually rolled off your tongue pretty quickly because it's one of those things you think you might know, and then as you go to do it, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah, they're all going to come back to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I'm going to know all of them after this. Well, here we go. Just to rub it in, we've got what? The First Noel. Come all ye faithful.
Oh, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got any of those.
No. Love a good hark.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, the big one.
Have a great one, Kathy.
You do, actually.
You did very well. Enjoy your $40.
Thank you.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Zy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie. The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Let's talk filth.
Great.
Really?
Let's talk some filthy juice.
Right.
This is disgusting. I don't even know why I'm telling you, but if you're a big fan of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, no.
Your chance is coming to really enjoy the festive season.
People having Bertram Muesli.
If you don't know who Dr. Pimple Popper is, she's actually a very popular lady with over 4.5 million YouTube subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
She is literally a dermatologist in America who pops pimples. And
obviously pretty big ones.
Yeah.
Pretty well, yeah. And I'm talking like those sort of ones that come up in your news feed on your social media accounts.
Happens all the time on Twitter. It drives me crazy. I don't want to see that.
No, I don't want to see it either. But there's people watch this stuff. I mean, honestly, her YouTube videos of popping pimples have had 2 billion views.
Yeah.
And they're going up. Like, it's insane.
I think it's past.
Well, she's going to be back. So on TLC with two things, actually. Monday the 7th of January, you'll get the 12-part series of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Which is the, you know, it's pretty special. It's an ongoing series of people trying to get their things fixed. This is sort of how it goes.
Subscriptions now.
What I'm using right now is this little tweezer device. It's got a little curve to it,
mm-hmm.
and it helps to kind of pull them out. People like to watch us do these. I think it's just very satisfying to them. Some blackheads over here.
I mean, she's got a lovely voice,
but
it's the vision that I don't want to see. Yeah. But on Sunday, the 23rd of December at 7 p.m., you can see Dr. Pimple Popper, The 12 Pops of Christmas, which is a 90-minute popaganza where you'll see people squeeze, pop, and extract their way to better-looking skin.
Oh, now, are you one of these people that enjoys picking the skin of your partner?
What do you think?
Probably not.
Of all the things, I'm definitely not that person.
Because I have known people who have never understood it myself.
On the first day of Christmas.
And look,
I find it quite satisfying to do it to myself.
It's so disgusting.
But I do it in, I don't film it.
You don't film it?
And don't get me wrong. I mean, I know bad skin. I had terrible acne for most of my adult life. It's awful to deal with. I understand. But sharing it with others is super gross. Yeah. But there is a story at mix.com.au if you want to check it out. Look forward to Dr. Pimple Popper, The 12 Pops of Christmas.
How that made it into the juice, I just don't know.
I know. Sorry. Now, Black Mirror fans, let me get your hopes up.
Okay.
A Twitter user has taken a screenshot of a tweet from an official Netflix account.
Okay.
Right. Now, if you're not familiar with Black Mirror, it's an anthology series. It explores a world that's really high tech.
Got and freaky music, too.
It covers basically some of humanity's darkest instincts.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
It's a pretty dark show. You know, you've seen a few eps, haven't you, Matt?
Yes,
Black Mirror.
Yes, Black Mirror, yes.
And each episode you can watch individually. You know, you don't have to watch the whole series. But it's a really good, solid show. It's a bit terrifying. But this tweet has gone up from the official Netflix account suggesting that Black Mirror Bandersnatch is what it's called, is going to get on air on Netflix on December 28th.
Right.
Now, very quickly after, the tweet was deleted.
Ah.
So
have they done that deliberately?
Perhaps.
Like red herring?
Maybe to give a little bit of talk, but it's likely that it's not going to be the whole season of Black Mirror. In the past, they have released one episode here and there and, you know, like a Christmas special.
Yes.
So that might be what it is.
Might have been a black herring then.
But check out Netflix on December 28 if you are a Black Mirror fan. If you're not, I recommend you watch a few.
It's like a dystopian future, but it's not so far away that it feels like science fiction.
No, it's not. Yeah. It actually feels like it could be today
in
just a really terrifying way.
Mind you, so does Handmaid's Tale. At times.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's not, as I thought, a world where they'd run out of Windex.
No.
No.
It'd be terrible.
No. And speaking of which, actually, this week I will be letting you know in the Juice each day I'll release a show that I recommend that you watch over the holidays. So if you've got a bit of time off, perhaps there'll be something you're interested in watching there. So I'll let you know during the week.
Okay, well
and that's
done.
Your daily Juice.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
I don't have children and that's been pretty uncommon in my group of friends. Lots of my friends have got kids. And so being single without your children, they're like, that's a bit of a rarity.
Yep.
So the thing is that as the years go on and life becomes a bit more busy, it becomes quite hard to catch up with friends and have a proper catch up.
Sure.
Because they've either dealing with the baby in the baby stages where it's a very difficult time. But then when the kids get a little bit older, they've got the sports catch-ups and all the things that parents need to
parenting.
Do. So when we do have the catch-ups, it's very hard to get adult time, right? Because in between, obviously, the kids interrupt the conversation and you've got parents that are distracted because they're trying to do multiple tasks at once.
Yeah.
And we all understand, but it's very hard.
Especially when you're the anomaly.
Yeah, totally. It's just one of those things where you're like, I'd love to spend, and I know they want adult time too.
Of course.
Like it's very hard to get away from your kids. Yes, you can't just leave them in the yard and walk away.
Parenting, it is what it is.
But yesterday, we found the solution.
Ah,
really?
I found the solution. For parents who need adult time, the answer is a backyard pool.
Ah.
There you go.
It's a pool.
Yeah.
For the first time, we had a get-together with all of my girlfriends from high school. These are friends of mine. We catch up every month, right? And for the first time with all of our husbands and partners there and the kids there, we had a pool at a friend's house.
Such a great distraction when it's warm.
Oh, my goodness. You literally chuck the kids in their bathers and you don't hear from them for hours. Yesterday was the best catch-up I've had with my friends in so long because it was so brilliant to actually be able to have the time. You chucked one parent or two parents in the pool with them.
Yep.
So they had constant lifeguard supervision.
Yeah, of course. Or
and
even
the
just
rest
watching,
of us could do whatever we like. I felt like it was a total party. Like, how has everyone kept this a secret from me?
I think it's really cool that the enthusiasm that you've just discovered this. I think it's unreal.
Did you? How come no one has said before?
I should have told you.
If you're having trouble catching up with your friends, stick the kids in a pool.
Sorry, I should have told you sooner.
Oh,
well, I didn't know that. Yeah, so that's a newie for me.
It's a
too.
Pretty cool
well
thing.
Done.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be 40 degrees for kids to love the pool. It can be 22 and they'll stay in there for 7 hours.
They do.
It's
they
so
don't
bizarre.
Feel the cold, do
no,
they?
No, they don't. Marco Polo is more important than, you know, even if you are shivering.
Clancy, yeah. I feel like this was your responsibility.
Sorry,
if
buddy,
you knew, if all these people have been walking around, if you knew that that was the secret, why didn't you share it with the rest of us?
I should have told you, but the moment never sort of arose at the right time.
It was sensational. Mm. Honestly, I feel like we got to relax. Everyone had a good time. We had time for drinks and snacks. And then the kids would come out, they'd be starving, chuck a snagger in a bun, send them back in.
Yeah.
It was sensational.
I did have a couple of birthday parties for the kids when they were little. So I was the guy who would never leave the side of the pool because I was paranoid about anything happening to any of the kids in the water.
Yep.
So I would have to get one of the mums who would come to the parties to go, and I'd go, can you go and get the cake or go and get this? Because I was just paranoid about the pool.
Oh, and
but
you should
it was still
be.
A good thing. Yeah.
And you should be, as long as, you know, the kids were constantly supervised.
Of
there
course.
Was no one taking their eyes off them. But I felt like we all got the best adult time
it's
out of it.
Great distraction.
And so now I need to introduce this to my other groups of friends with kids. That I haven't experienced this with yet, and none of them have a pool. So I need to work out, I need to come up with a plan.
And it's such a cheap option.
It is.
Yeah, putting in a backyard pool.
$48,000?
Yeah.
So you're going to fund some pools for your friends. That's
totally,
lovely.
Totally worth it for adult time.
Well done, crowdfund.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
You know, I don't know why men go to bars to meet women. I go to Kmart. Like the female ratio is like 10 to 1 and they're already looking for things they don't need.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.